Well, if it isn't Steve, what's going on, brother?
I'm just chilling right now. Brian, I've been enjoying this sort of coronavirus vacation. I didn't know what to expect at first, but I feel like I'm riding it pretty well overall. How about you?
It's been good, man. You know, I started up work last week and trying to get back into the work schedule. And it's been quite some adjustment, man. It really has been. I've been trying to get back into the flow of things and work and everything. It's just, you know. Yep. Granted, it's been, I took 2 months off, so it's like, you know. But as far as family and myself being and my well-being, I mean, I'm good, you know. You know, I just came out with, made a TikTok, you know, that I had a lot of fun making, putting out content, IG, you know, and just starting this podcast right here, you know. So it's been a lot of great things for me personally. I was able to take out of this as far as executing and putting into action, and just mentally, there's a lot of things I was able to really take in and really enjoy, really enjoy.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm really glad you've been. It's cool to see you've been using this time to, you know, really be just productive and make the most of it. Really. Besides these things, are there any other things that have helped you really thrive and do well during this time?
During this time, For me, I really had to, I didn't do it initially, but I did fall back in more into my spiritual beliefs, as far as, you know, my belief in Christianity and God and son, Jesus being the son of God. So, taking that step back and really, really getting into the word of God just really put me back in my foundation of where I used to be years ago. And it was now I'm not where I want to be, but I say I'm sturdy enough to kind of go in the direction that I need to for my life. And that's really changed my perspective on how I go about, you know, from going to work to my relationships, with friends and family, to my perspective and perception on life. So it's been such a huge, like, change for me, and I've enjoyed the change. Hasn't been too nothing negative I could really kind of report on, but that's what's really kind of been my biggest takeaway. There's a lot of big ones, but that's my biggest one that I really took away with that.
Yeah, I think that's super important, and I also think too, as you were saying, you're not where you want to be. I think it's good just to celebrate those small victories and try to appreciate those and not be too hard on ourselves and just be grateful for the little things. And
that then, too, I've really kind of, you know, dialed back. I'm like, all right, I'm only about to turn 22 soon. Not too fairly young, but I'm not too fairly old either. So, you know, I just got to be able to stay consistent in wherever avenue or wherever I want to, you know, go with my life, is the main thing, and staying consistent, you know, regardless if that's, you know, as, you know, little bit as, you know, effort a day as can be, or maximum effort a day, that consistency will build up. It's like building a house. You're just laying every brick, little by little, eventually you'll get your house.
Yeah, that discipline, it's super important. It might not look like much over little periods of time, but like you said, with the foundation, it really helps the things go really well long term. And yeah, I think it's just all part of the journey. You're pretty young, and I think it's good to have a sort of journey and things in life to look forward to. And if you were to arrive in life and have everything accomplished with nothing to look forward to, do you think life would be boring?
Yeah, it'd be boring because there's no, with those set things, I mean, that there comes obstacles. And Nothing worth having is ever comes easy. But the excitement that comes into it and why that makes it exciting is the obstacles. Is to say that I had these set things in my way and I was able to push through those things regardless of how big those circumstances were, what emotional, mental, or physical, you know, failure or damage that I went through, I was able to push through things. So I think it's one thing when you're going through it to complain, right? Because it's not easy when you're going through obstacles. That's just our human nature. But once we come out of it, we actually extract, you know, lessons from those fears, lessons from those obstacles, lessons from those experiences. You know, for those who keep their eyes and their mind open to those things, you can actually be able to learn. Sometimes learning requires, again, the set, you know, obstacles over and over and over and over and over and over. For some of us get it quicker, some of us don't get it quicker. Some are better in some aspects of life, some aren't. You know, we all got, I believe, gifts, and we all got weaknesses, you know, so it depends. True. You know, but you know, it just depends.
Right. Yeah. And I think too, with when we go through hardships, I think it makes the victories just a little bit sweeter when we actually have to overcome obstacles versus just having things handed to us on a silver platter,
right?
And then not having that sort of background experience to just make something have more meaning to us, you know.
It adds context and history and into the mix, so it adds another layer to it. But I mean, it's kind of like saying if I was to, you know, let's say scenario, I'm playing baseball, going against this team, and the team is about the same level as you know, my team, and that we were great A star, you know, teams, and I'm batting, hit the ball, and then I get a home run without no difficulty. Every single I swing, there'd be no fun in it. It's there's no prediction in it at all. You just know. Whereas with obstacles and different circumstances, there's no level of predictability. There's no level of, you know, assurance or you know, knowing what's going to happen next.
Right. That does sound kind of boring.
Right.
When you put it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's another interesting thing I noticed with, I think about the whole underdog complex, is that when I see people start off with really hard times and have a lot of struggles but overcome and eventually do something really great, I'm actually much more inspired by those kind of people and more likely to look up to them as role models.
Yeah, it's I agree, because it's the same concept of like the entertainment factor in there went with the sense of obstacles, right? Obstacles, and I think that, you know, there's every obstacle is different, right? Everybody experiences different obstacles in life, but I think what's most interesting about it is it's not just the obstacles that differ, but it's also how we choose to handle those things. From most physical, mentally, you know, spiritual standpoint. So it's like everybody is so different. So it's like everybody will handle something completely different. So it adds uniqueness and diversity to like every, you know, every one of those set stories and circumstances that people go through.
Yeah, I don't know, everyone, I feel like everyone's sort of story and journey is different, and it's I think you can't always compare your situation to everyone else's, and I find it interesting too that we all have different journeys we experience, and there's no set sort of cookie cutter way to go about things, and I feel like I've experienced a good deal of that. I'm I'm almost 32 now, and I actually don't even have a college degree, and I'm a barber currently, and it's crazy just waiting for things to open up back, but that's a whole other side story. But it's kind of interesting because I used to always compare myself to other people, and just looking at other people who get their college degree by a certain age, whether it's their early 20s, and feel down on myself if I haven't reached the point where I think I should be. But over time, I've more learned to find what sort of fulfills me, even if it's not an orthodox past. And with that being said, have you had a similar experience just with, you know, discovering your identity and sense of worth outside of stereotypes and norms?
Yeah, definitely. Clearly, you know, I mean, you know me more on a, you know, a, like we're on a friendship level. See, I mean, those who aren't aware, you know, when people first see me, they assume one stereotype. And then when they hear me speak, then it's a different story. And it's, I think that I'm not nowhere near perfect. No one ever should and will be perfect. But true. I'd say I'm a walking testimony of not being a product of my environment, but being a product of what I choose to be, and get around the people that I do. I have an open mind to things. I think that's what differentiates me, and not make me any better than anyone. There's no way I can be better than anyone, or anyone ever can be better than anyone. I think that with my sense of me being open-minded to things and being empathetic and practicing humbleness, those set things, you know, I'm not perfect at those, nowhere near mastered those. It makes me different from other people, and it took a while for me to accept that because of you know, my color. People assume that I'm just black, which I'm. Both my parents are Panamanian, so I'm from Latino descent. Even though I'm not at that point of speaking Spanish anywhere near fluently. It's funny because it's like you get these, like you said, you get these stereotypes, and it's, for me personally, I can say for myself that I, you know, when I talk, people get surprised every time. Right. Especially not even just for my color, but as well as my age.
Right. I think it's easy for people, even ourselves sometimes, to just put people inside of a box. And I think there's sometimes a part of us that wants to be like mentally lazy and not think critically about things and, you know, realize just the complexity that things can have. And I think it definitely takes a lot of like awareness and open-mindedness, which is something you talk a lot about.
Self-awareness. Yeah. And not just that, but being able to accept harsh truths. When a truth is presented in front of you, you don't look at it and say, well, that's not a truth that works for me. I mean, just realize that if a truth is completely factual and it's not, you know, an opinionated fact, I mean, opinionated truth, and realize that something is, you know, entirely 100% true, not to just say, well, that truth doesn't work for me. And I think that, you know, when you're able to accept truths, and that is no easy thing to do. You know, that's a process in its own right. But when you're able to accept that, that's what, you know, adds on to that final layer to be able to not be in that box, you know. I think for black people, some just like they go based off something that somebody says that just seems right to their truth, but not to the full truth. And that's what kind of keeps them in that box. That's what kind of keeps them in that same loop of being stagnant in their beliefs and growth and their perspective of life, you know. So
right. And I think as far as the stagnancy you're talking about also ties in with ignorance. It's something I think it's definitely taught, but and can shackle us, but we do need to face those uncomfortable truths, like you said, and be willing to be uncomfortable ourselves, face those harsh truths, like you said. But it's really the truth that sets us free, you know, free to mature, free to get outside of the box, and free to, you know, live out the purpose that we're meant to live. And I think too, even racism is something that's taught. It's not something that we're born with.
Everything that is that you know has been learned. So right. So it's, we're not born with knowing things, right? We all have to learn how to work. We all have to learn how to drink water. We all have to learn how to, you know, drive a car. We have to learn how to say mom, pronounce words, or learn how to sing, or learn how to, you know, lift weights. Everything's a learning component to it. So if someone who says, you know, I have so much hate in my heart, I can never love anyone or myself, they've learned to hate somebody. It's not, nobody comes in learning to hate someone or learning to come with the sense of like hating people, or come with the sense of seeing people like, oh, I'm better than you. You know what I mean? It's everything learned.
Right. And going back to my childhood, I remember having black friends that I hung out with, and being so young and not being as knowledgeable because I haven't, you know, lived life to really learn as much. I didn't think much of hanging out with black friends. I just thought they're my friends. But then people would make comments, or, you know, even my dad would warn me about hanging out with other black kids. So that's a component where we're being taught and learning new things in our environment.
So, and that's, and to, you know, add on to that, just a quick question. So from what I forget your nationality. I know you're part black. I know that, right?
So it's funny you mentioned that. So I did one of those ancestry DNA tests probably about a few years back, and the results kind of change over time, but I got probably only up to 10% black. I got kind of excited about that, to be honest. And most of what I am is a mix of Latino, mostly from Spain and Mexico, and there's a good amount of Spanish from both my mom and dad's side. And my mom has Nicaraguan in her, and she actually grew up there. And there's also a lot of European as well. So I'm kind of a mix of different things. It's hard to pinpoint exactly what I am sometimes. Sometimes people guess what I am, and I'm very fair complexioned. And a lot of people think like I'm white. So, and growing up, I used to be more pale, and people would call me Casper or Powder based on a movie. So it's interesting that you say that.
And to build off that, when you go on ancestry.com, that dials back to that whole, you know, being lazy minded, like you were saying earlier. We all come from a culmination of all races being mixed, intertwined at some point within the generational, you know, tree of our families. And I think that if people are more open and actually aware to that, and not just that, but accept that truth, then we wouldn't have this level of like, I'm superior to you, to this, to that, and realize that we all are just human at the end of the day. And color is just a color, regardless of how different cultures may be and how people may act and how they are. We all human. We all have two eyes. We all have, you know, a nose, heart, you know, liver, legs. Right. You know, it's just that simple.
Right. And I even think of we all come from the same ancestors at some point. Even seeing the DNA test, we're 10% African there. Like even though we might look different, there's still a common source or common denominator we all come from. I even think back to Adam and Eve, for example.
Yeah, and that's the awesome part about it is me personally, my belief is, you know, I believe in, like I mentioned, I believe in God. So if there was all to, and not even like, let's just kind of take this down to a very simplistic, right? Very simplistic scenario. If there was really only meant to be just one color, why the hell is there all these different colors then? If one color was absolute and superior and absolute, there would just be one color.
That's an interesting point. So you're basically saying, why do these different color exist in the first place? What is it supposed to mean? And what are people to gather from that,
right,
learn from that?
And that's more from a logical scenario standpoint. But for me personally, I tie that back into, you know, God created all these different colors for set reason. For a set reason. It's kind of like look, and it's just as simplistic as this. It's like if we were just breaking it down, right? Let's say, right, you're a all white husky and I'm a white husky with like black, you know, stripes or black or whatever different colors, you know, that's embedded into my fur. Aren't we dogs? Right, it's that simple. We're the same species. We just have slight tweaks, slight differences, slight different features. Maybe you have, you know, one eye that's light blue and one eye that's white or black or whatever, you know, colored eye. It's the same concept. We're the same species. We are more the same than you think. And a lot of people are just looking at the different features and looking at those things and like don't want to accept the fact, like, don't want to, it's like denying that person of their right to be even and to exist.
Right. Something I'm just thinking about right now is every feature we have just makes us who we are.
And that's what's beautiful about it. Because you imagine how boring it would be if it was all the same color. Even right. If we had also, slightly different features, you know how boring that would be?
Yeah, that'd be boring. Also, I think I would be confused. I'm kind of thinking Twilight Zone here, but I'm imagining if everyone looked the same and everyone was a clone, I'd be confused who is who, because I couldn't pick out one person from the crowd.
Exactly.
How about that?
Exactly. You know, and that difference of colors and features adds uniqueness and diversity to each, and not from a specific group standpoint, but from individually every single person. Everybody from, you know, from Mexican, black, white, Asian, whatever color you are, everyone has a different shade of color, you know, maybe. And it's, even if like someone looks almost completely identical, there, everyone has different shades of color regardless. So we all have uniqueness within our own you know, our race or our ethnicity or however you want to, you know, go about it. You know, and I think that's the layer that adds that beauty to it, that you don't look exactly like somebody else.
Right. And there's even a Bible verse I think about, and I like reading it or even just thinking about it, especially when I'm struggling to, you know, accept myself, whether it's, you know, my own personality or my own quirks and just own insecurities. It's in Psalms 139 here. Let's see. So in 139 and verse 13, it says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." So just even based on this, it's clear that our own uniqueness with all of our features is it's a key part of, you know, God's design for us.
Right. And that's awesome. You know, it's, and I'm glad you picked that. That's what's so beautiful about it, because it's like everything that God makes is good and is great and it's wonderful. And that, and before us to be made in that likeness and to have that approval and have that level of, you know, certification from him, it's like, man, it's so much grace. And then everyone, this is not excluding any color, anybody who's ever existed, everyone has that level of, wow, God, like, God made you and he made you good and great. And I mean, anything that comes from God is good, great, and wonderful. So it's like, even you yourself is good and great and it's wonderful. And I think that you know, if that's something that people kind of have to really take into consideration, you know, if you, and I know some, you know, just the level of the situation right now, and people dealing with racism, you got to understand that there's a reason why you're here. If you aren't meant to be here, right, and you are, you know, whatever people is telling you and you're believing, why are you here presently in this moment and in this time? Even in listening in this podcast is what I think people kind of have to really, like, take time and critically think about these things.
Yeah, that, I mean, and that question, you know, it could be pretty loaded to answer it for ourselves or someone, but it's definitely an important question. Why are we here? I've been definitely thinking about that. I think even with this whole pandemic and not being able to work, it's freed me up a lot just to be able to think more about things and research things more. And I've thought about my purpose for quite some time now, and I always think there's new layers of understanding when it comes to that. But even asking myself, why am I on this podcast? So racism has been standing out to me a lot lately. It's been really obvious with everything regarding George Floyd, and I've really been able to examine just my own ignorance and my own biases. And, you know, like we said earlier, facing those hard truths, those uncomfortable truths. And there's this phrase I've heard a lot before and even currently, and I used to think it was a fair statement. You're familiar with "all lives matter," right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's something on my IG and my Snap been posting. You know, I love the Black Power movement. You know, I think that's it's amazing, you know, and it's a push that needs to happen. But I think we also have to really take in consideration as well that it is not just the black lives we gotta push for. We gotta push for all lives. Because regardless of how, you know, I'm probably gonna get a lot of, you know, interesting comments for this, but regardless of how people wanna perceive this, this is the, you know, utter truth. We are all connected. We're all human. There are 7 billion people on this planet. And if we cut ourselves off and believe only one race really should have one push, then I think we're really at a big impasse here. Because if we're just pushing for that, after that, is that it? do we just kind of like let go of, you know, a couple races, maybe let's say one or two races we push for, and then after that, then we just kind of like, oh, you know, all the other races out there, do we just kind of like forget about them, that is going through social injustices, that is going through racism, you know? And right. I don't think that people are seeing it that way, but I think we just got to be open-minded and aware to that concept of that when we're pushing for this, we are not forgetting the fact that, you know, it's not, it shouldn't be a push for just Black Lives Matter or brown lives, but, you know, all colored and all levels of races and all people, because again, we are all human, and nobody's life deserves to be taken advantage of.
True.
There should be no social injustices that anybody should be going through, or racism at all, or even lives taken at all. That's just point blank, period.
True. And I think you're very right in that all lives do matter, and even with that hashtag all lives matter, I think that's, you know, technically very, very true and factual. But something interesting I see is that I think it's very important, before I say what I'm going to say next, is being willing to acknowledge everyone's point of view is very important, giving people that safe environment to express themselves and be willing to see,
yes,
where someone else,
yes,
is coming from their perspective, even if you don't agree with them, but being willing to just hear them out. And something that's really standing out to me more is that with Black people especially, they just want to be heard. They don't necessarily, like, for me, I can't relate to the, you know, the sort of racial profiling or discrimination, and I don't think I should pretend to relate to or understand, but it is very important that I'm willing to imagine what it's like to be in someone else's shoes, and acknowledge and validate their experience. And that being said, right now I am very supportive of the whole hashtag Black Lives Matter, but I'm also open to hearing other perspectives. I think that's just part of healthy conversation and part of maturity when we're able to hear each other's point of views and express themselves. But I think with the whole, thinking back on the whole all lives matter, I can see from Black people's perspective how it's very dismissive of their reality and situation. And while I do think all lives do matter, technically, I am supportive of that statement, Black Lives Matter, to sort of just acknowledge their experience and acknowledge the justice that should be happening that's not happening. But at the same time, we do want to avoid extremes. For example, we don't want to necessarily favor one race or another, say that, you know, this group of people is better or that group of people is better. But I do feel like a lot of what's driving the whole Black Lives Matter statement is just the chronic string of injustice. So I can see why people feel the need to draw extra attention to the whole situation to try to rectify what's been done in the past. So, and there's also a statement. Have you heard this one? It's all lives won't matter until Black lives matter.
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful. I thought that was beautiful. It was, it's definitely it's incorporating that level of, okay, well, we all do matter, but we don't all matter unless we're leaving out the lives of Black people.
Right.
I thought that was very intricate and very interesting the way that it is phrased. and just the impact that actually has. When I heard that, I said, wow. You know, and I think that's one that I'm not sure how much exposure that specific statement has made in sense of impressions and outreach towards people. But I think that's one that has to be placed out on front because of the fact that it, if you look at it, that context, it's applying the fact that everybody matters. It's not saying Black or green or yellow or whatever lives matter. It's saying all matters. I mean, all of us matter. But if we're leaving out Black lives, then do we all really matter? So I think that's super, super intricate and is one of the, actually one of my really favorite statements, because it's looking at it from a standpoint of, it's definitely, it's expressing how Black people are feeling, and it's also acknowledging the fact that, yeah, you know, it's not about, you know, just a specific race or a set number of races, but all of us, we all of our lives matter in some shape or form. We all help or aid each other in some way to increase the quality of life for other people in some shape or form.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know, for me personally, like, I really admire Black culture, you know, even though I'm not really Black, just like a small percentage, I love Black music, you know, whether it's, you know, R&B, soul, smooth jazz, some hip-hop, rap, or even like fashion. I think there's a lot of beautiful things different cultures bring to the table that we can just learn from and admire.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that, and it's just not, and it should be all different cultures we should learn from. We should all be learning from each other and helping each other and experiencing and increasing that, the fullness of being able to be connected within our set, and instead of being human and humanity and that relationship and fellowship of being different from each other and learning from each other and realizing the differences and the beauty and the differences in each other, and realize, I'm like, wow, that is insane. You know, I might like to dance to, you know, R&B or certain specific style. And then, you know, my best friend might like to, you know, dance bachata. You know, I might not be as good at it. I like to dance, or maybe I'm not too fond of it, but realizing, like, wow, that's different. But I respect and accept that because that person matters.
That's totally true. And, you know, even with how we learn and adopt different things from each other, I'm thinking back to the statement you made of how, you know, you've become, you know, who you're meant to be, and you kind of set out to be different and not necessarily in a box. Like, you know, you're Black, but you have a certain way of talking, and it surprises people because there's self-limiting beliefs that people have where we have to be in a certain way, be in a certain box. But I think it's beautiful and great when, you know, we take things that we learn from, you know, different sources, from different people, and just become sort of our own person rather than, you know, living within this
exactly
if people rigid framework. Yeah,
if people weren't so close-minded and sense of believing that a race has to be specifically this way or that way, could you imagine a level, if people actually embrace themselves, the level of who they could actually become, not for what people and their actual interests, but for their own actual interests and how they could make a difference in the world and impact people if they actually was open-minded to things. And realizing that everyone can live the way that, you know, they want to, right? Everyone has that choice, has that right. But if they were open to the fact that, you know, they can experience so much more of life, if they you know, didn't condemn themselves by saying that, you know, my specific, you know, friends, family, whoever said that this is how we live, and not saying that to throw that away, but acknowledge those things, but also acknowledge, you know, there's more to you if you were able to open your eyes to all the beautiful and different vivid colors to the how I paint, you know, how I perceive life is like this grand picture. A lot of us tend to, you know, for the first set couple of years, we see this, you know, a set side of the picture, right? And we only experience a couple colors, a few things, you know. And if we were to open our eyes to different, to how much life has to offer, we realize there's so many details to it. There's so many intricate components to it. There's so many different colors, skews. There's so much to this picture, and you are only in this little small section of it. And a lot of people live life in that small little section of that picture that I call life.
Yeah, and I think it's sad because when we don't open our eyes to see all the colors that are out there, metaphorically speaking, we really start to live in a small world. And you know, I think about, you know, the times I was most closed-minded or had these limiting beliefs where I felt like I needed to be a very certain way to be worthy. You know, there's a lot of shame that comes with that. And now going back to what I don't know what, if it was it self-condemning or self-hatred you mentioned earlier?
One more time, sorry.
You were mentioning self-hatred or self-condemning, am I right? At some point.
Condemning, earlier. Yeah, self-condemning yourself, yeah.
Yeah, so just to add to that, do you think the way we condemn ourselves or people condemn themselves affects the way they relate or look at other people?
Yes. Because you have this negative condensation on yourself, and that affects you because you look at yourself lower than other people. And I think it affects the view of people in two different ways.
Yeah.
I think it affects someone in the sense of when you condemn yourself and you live life a certain way, you close out the possibilities of what somebody else is doing that seems abnormal to you and doesn't seem like a part of life, but seems more like something that is kind of like a, I wouldn't say abomination, but something that is not meant, something that's not right. And I mm-hmm. think that's one way. And then the second way is that how that, you know, you can change your view on someone is you tell that person a certain way how they should live life, and you close that connection of being able to connect with someone. When you're able to, you know, you're only inflicting your own personal interest and your own personal how you think life should be lived and how you've lived it. It closes out that connection to someone else because no one wants to be able to talk to someone who feels like they should imply their personal values and beliefs and how life should be lived through their set experiences when it works for them but not for you.
I see. So basically, when we don't accept things in ourselves, or let's say we get infuriated with something about someone else. Like, let's say, a character trait. Do you think sometimes we see things in others that we see in ourselves that we don't like? Like, it reminds us of it, and somehow we project that onto someone else?
To a certain extent. I think that when we, like, and I think that's beautiful that you brought that up. I think that when we are, like you said, when we're reminded of those things and we see people doing things that, you know, we told weren't possible or weren't the way of how we were supposed to live life, and we see people doing those things, then we kind of like some, not all, but some are like, damn, I, you know, and some are so built into the concept of how they live in life. They don't want to say, you know, they're too prideful to say, you know, the way how I live life was actually wrong. You know, how I was living was wrong. And it's that sense of like realizing that you're wrong, and some people just are too prideful to actually admit it. And then you have your some people who are just baked in it so well that they believe that truth, that that's just how life should be led.
Right. I mean, a couple examples of that I can think about is, let's say a lot of parents, they're in certain professions, like let's say doctors or lawyers, and I hear about a lot of different experiences where their children feel this pressure to sort of live up to that those level of accomplishments that their parents achieved. But then I also see another scenario where there are parents who have regrets about what they didn't accomplish in life, and they want to live vicariously through their children and see their children accomplish things that they never got to. What do you think about that?
I think that we all try to go about life trying to do what's best for us. We come into this world and we are
right.
Really, I mean, if you really think about it, we're taught how to be selfish first. Now, we are taught how to, we're just taught how to be selfish first because it's all about us, right? When you're raising a kid, right? And I don't have kids of my own, but from people's experiences, seeing my brothers and sisters grow up, you see the repetition of when you're raising a kid, it's all really about taking care of them. And then you have to kind of over time detangle them and try to get them to understand how life isn't really just about you. There's actually other people that you're not actually gonna, you know, connect with. You know, there's gonna be other people you might not agree with, and you're gonna have to learn how to get along with them, because, you know, a big part of life is, you know, connecting with people. You know, and it's super interesting, because it's like it's a back and forth kind of notion, and it depends on the life of what we would, it depends on what phase of life you are in, right? Let's say I am, you know, in my youth years, baby infant years, I'm, you know, from a month old to, you know, 5 years. It's really about me. It's really about me. And then let's say I'm what, like 12 to like 16, I'm starting to understand that there's other people out there who, you know, things differently from me, and how I actually have to care and treat other people right, how I want to be treated. Then you get to, let's say, age 20 to 25. From that point, it's all about you building yourself up and learning how to some extent, you still work with people, and you realize you have to, you have to connect with people in respect, and regardless of, you know, you had different viewpoints, but you're still, in that sense, building yourself up, you know, in the career world, job world, or, you know, business world. You are still kind of, you know, really kind of a little bit about yourself. You're still, you know, selfishness. So it's a constant, like, back and forth notion, you know. That balance is really hard to try to, you know, come to terms with. I think that selfishness at some point does exit. When you supplement that and change that and convert selfishness into selflessness, where you're able to be humble enough to realize, you know, there's other people out there that, you know, that needs, you know, you matter. You really do matter. You can impact and change someone else's life. But you're aware of yourself enough to know that you have to create time for yourself to be able to recover mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Right. And I was thinking the exact same word, a balance. And I think it's definitely a balancing act. I do think there is a healthy level of selfishness we're all supposed to have, but there's also an unhealthy extreme, let's say, where we're burning ourselves out and not having time for ourselves, and then we wind up getting mad at people, bitter and resentful. So, but I do think selfishness is something that's very, very easy, just even from when we're babies and youth. I think about how we all want our bottles, and we're like, Mom, where's my bottle? Or worrying about whether we're going to get fed. And then I just think of times as I got older where, you know, my parents taught me, oh, say hi to that person, or don't be rude. They were teaching me how to have manners, because just because it's so natural for me to, you know, be selfish. So there's definitely a progression, like you said, as we, you know, get older, we, you know, we learn how to be more selfless and consider others more. But at the same time, like you said, there's still we still need to have that self-love. And, you know, I even think of how, you know, like I'm naturally an introvert like myself, where I feel like I need a good amount of time just to have time to myself, to gather myself of my thoughts, and just even be able to reflect on things. And I find it to be something, you know, therapeutic. And I think it's something that's very healthy, where if I go about it the right way and balanced way, then when I am around other people, I can be my best self and, you know, treat them better and be more selfless in my interactions with them. And there are definitely times where I take it to an extreme where, you know, I use my introversion as an excuse to be selfish and not think about anyone else, and wind up sabotaging myself where I'm not reaching out to people. There was a time where especially in high school, I spent so much time playing video games, just focused in my own world, that it made me socially awkward and just didn't help my relationship. So there's definitely a balance, like you said, and you want to avoid those extremes.
No, yeah, I completely agree with you on that, man. It's a part of life. It's a natural progression of that.
Right. Yeah, and I even think too, since you know, you have Christian beliefs, I feel comfortable bringing this up. I even think about Jesus, you know, even though he was the most selfless man on earth, he still took time out alone to pray. He wasn't always serving everyone's need all of the time. And I even noticed there were times where crowds would gather around him, he would purposely withdraw. And it makes me wonder, how would have Jesus acted around people if, let's say, he never got that time to pray and get some time alone with himself to recharge? Would it have changed his interactions with other people? It's not something I really know, but I'm curious about.
Wow, you know, it's interesting, you know, and it's like, for me personally, Jesus is the, in books of John, Matthew, Luke, you know, is the example, I think, for me personally, that I should follow, because it's the guidelines how to live life. You know, life is beautiful, because not the fact that there's just good in it, but there's bad and good. You can't know one without the other.
Right. Yeah, bad and good. Yeah, and I think, speaking of that, I think it's harder to appreciate the good when you don't see the bad. And I don't know, it's not always an easy sort of reality, because I hear some people say, why does God allow evil to happen? And at the same time, it makes good stand out more, just having that sort of a duality, but I also think about kind of free will and how, you know, we all have our own freedom, whether it's for good or for evil, let's say. And, you know, I think it's easy too, and I've done this in the past, blame God for negative things happening in my life. But then I also think about times when I've hurt people and have been unkind. I ask myself, did God really do that? And I can say, no, that was me using my free will. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, you know, I think all good and great things come from God, and then all bad and evil things come from Satan. You know, I look at Satan as the one who wanted it all and couldn't, and is now, you know, is the bitter, jealous, you know, one that's just kind of in the corner, kind of lurking and mad at those who is going to have that all, you know. And I think that's why, you know, so, you know, really, like, just, I mean, happens to bad people too, but you hear from good people why terrible things do happen to them. It's because, you know, it's attacks from Satan, I do believe, because you hear look at George Floyd, and it's like, man, 8 minutes, 46 seconds, and you just kind of really have to think, like, why does bad things happen to really, really good people? You know what I mean? Look at Kobe Bryant. You know, nobody's expecting that. It's just like, why did the most it's the most tragic and one of the saddest things. You just see what happens to the people, and you're like, why do they deserve that? Or not deserve that, but why did that happen to them? It doesn't seem,
it just
unnatural.
Doesn't seem fair, does it? Yeah.
It seems unnatural. But, you know, let me ask you, and I actually want to close it on this. What do you think we need going forward in the next couple months with this situation that we have on our hands? What will change, what you believe will change things to be able to get us not back to a normal, but back to in sense of getting us just stepping forward?
There's multiple things I think of. I can't just think of one thing. If I were to use just one sort of blanket word, it would be love, but that looks like a lot of different ways and it has different facets. I think there needs to be a lot more empathy, a lot more open-mindedness, a lot more understanding. I think there needs to be a lot more humility with people being willing to you know, look at their own shortcomings and being okay with, you know, being wrong, and being, you know, just accepting new information. And I think people just finding ways to communicate and understand each other, because I see a lot of people you know, wanting to prove a point, whether just to argue or to be right, and not to see the other person's point of view, even if they're dead wrong. I think it's easy when someone says something we don't like or we don't agree with, it's a natural instinct to sort of just jump at them and attack them because we feel we're right and they're wrong. But you know, I do think it's a lot more than just facts, that we really need to get to the heart of things and just communicate. And I mean, just an example to give more, shed more light and to illustrate this point. Like my dad grew up experiencing a lot of racism, and, you know, there's times where he's had black girlfriends and he's actually had opposition where people would, you know, make fun or ridicule or even threaten to to fight him because he grew up in a time where, you know, racism was, you know, just very blatant and like out there. It wasn't, it didn't have so many subtle forms that it now comes in these days. And so the way he's internalized that is when I've had black friends or even was interested in a black girl or had a black girlfriend, he would criticize that because, you know, he was projecting his own you know, internalized realities onto me. And there were different points where I was very upset with him, and I would just like clap back at him. Like, I would attack him, like, why are you being racist? And I at the time I wasn't really wanting to understand. There was a part of me, I think subconsciously, but I just wanted him to stop being racist and to just accept, you know, my choices or what I feel or yeah, what I believe is right. But as I've matured over time, you know, I realized, like, okay, I really need to understand why is he racist. And not when I said why are you racist, I wasn't really trying to understand. Like, when we ask people why, we don't need to just come at it like as an attack, like, why are you this way? But we should really come at it as, hey, like, why are you the way you are? Why do you think that? Like, let's talk. I really want to understand you. So taking that approach, you know, my dad shared the whole backstory of what's influenced his own racism. And it, even though I didn't agree with his overall opinion, it just helped me have more understanding. It helped break down barriers because there was a connection where we were understanding each other, and it wasn't just a battle of who's right or who's wrong. And what's beautiful is that over time, I think even with the help of having that conversation with him, he's felt comfortable enough to just be more interested in, like, what I feel or how I see things, not just how he sees things. And it's built more bridges, and now he's actually a lot more accepting of my choices. And you know, like right now, like, I have a black girlfriend, and he's accepting. He more cares now about finding someone that cares about me and who loves me. So like I said, I wanted to use this as an example just to illustrate that point. And
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, just because
I think that's awesome. And to close out on this, I think that's awesome because I think that's why we have so much ignorance, is because on a common level, right, people don't want to understand other people because they don't want to be wrong. Nobody likes to be wrong, right? That is the worst feeling to ever have. Or no, sorry, let me rephrase that. That's one of the top, you know, feelings to have, is to be wrong, because we kind of have this feeling of, you know, we're less than someone else if we're wrong. And being right just feels superior, and it feels good. It feels like this all-time high and great. And nobody wants to be wrong. Nobody wants to be wrong. And I think that when we, like you, like that, and I think that's an awesome experience that I think that needs to be met. And it, like we were going back to earlier, a lot of the main focal point was accepting harsh truths, and talking about those harsh truths. Those are the things I think that needs to be pushed, you know, especially with that experience you had, I think really sets the bar apart, because connecting can create, or just talking and hearing other people and having that sit down talk and really trying to understand those harsh truths and opinions really creates that clean slate and that path to be able to connect with other people. And connecting comes understanding, relatability, and you know, I think that's essential, to be able to kind of move forward, you know, because I myself would never really would have, you know, even took the approach that you did. And I'm still fairly young, and I could be as mature as I can be currently, but I probably wouldn't have taken that approach. So if anything, you know, that gave me insight, and hopefully, you know, this will give insight to everyone who is listening to this. And hopefully, you know, everyone on this podcast can share this video, to your three best friends and really get that insight. Cause that even for me, I just, you know, hearing that just gave me a lot of insight. And now I can kind of share that along with, you know, from my personal to people that I, all over social media, to kind of express that, you know, and I'm not going to go too deep with that and bring your business out there, but saying, you know,
yeah,
you know, I know someone who had an experience who's gone through that, and just the level of what that conversation led to was understanding of one another, not agreement, but understanding of each other's viewpoints. And maybe that can be the way to actually changing some things. Maybe.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I mean, I think it's just, yeah, a lot of expectation management and, you know, just working to get that understanding, and it takes longer, and ignorance can be so deep seated. And I do think, you know, we have to be patient with people too, because it took me a while to see my own ignorance and even see my privilege. But, you know, it's still, I think it's good that I see that, and I think it's, we should be using that to, you know, to have open dialogue with other people and, you know, create connection, just be able to see things, accept things the way they are. And it can be hard, like at the, I know you were going to close out.
But to close out, I just want to, you know, take this time to thank you guys who took this time to actually listen in to this point. I think this is, you know, a really awesome insight. I think what, you know, just building up from start to where we're at now, I think is an insight that, you know, if something that maybe you aren't able to connect with and really relate to, maybe somebody else will. So, you know, share this podcast with, you know, your three best friends, and maybe even your neighbor, or your aunt, your cousin, whoever. I think somebody would get great insight from this if they're open to different perceptions and insights. And, you know, I think the greatest thing we can do is be able to open to, you know, people's perspectives. So I want to take this time for you guys to, you know, appreciate each and every one of you who take time out of their day to actually listen into this. I think it's add great value, especially the conversation and the topics that we're covering. But I also want to thank you, Steve, for taking the time to actually, you know, giving me insight. And I'm super grateful, because it's really opened up my eyes a lot more to the situation and people and understandings and perspectives. I think that's critical, man. I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and I'm glad you were able to learn some things. Definitely an honor being on this podcast.
Pleasure's all mine. And really, if anybody wanted to be able to, because you actually are an amazing artist, is there anywhere on social media that anyone can actually find you?
Yes. So I have a couple Instagram accounts. So I dabble in different types of art. So I have a barber page and an artist page. So I dabble in different things, like cartoons, paintings, or charcoal illustrations, although I feel like I'm more comfortable with drawing. But my barber Instagram tag is at Kadena Cuts, and I'll spell that out. That's C as in cat, A as in apple, D as in duffel bag, E as in Eskimo, N as in Nancy, A as in aardvark, underscore. Actually, no, get rid of that underscore. There might be there. I have to look at my own tag. I feel like it. Let me look at it 1 second. I just want to make sure. Oh, I don't want and people to be misled.
And the captions for this this upcoming podcast.
Yeah, so there is no underscore. Like I said, just wanted to make sure I was right. So it's at Kadena Cuts, C-A-D-E-N-A, which I already spelled, and that's cuts as in cutting hair, just to make it simple. Then my artist Instagram is at Steve Art Kadenart. So that's Steve as in Steven with a V, Art as an artist with an underscore, and then Kadenart, C-A-D-E-N-A-R-T. So I'm kind of combining two words there. So like I said, Kadena Cuts and Steve Art Kadenart.
All right, solid. Yeah, with that, guys, closing out. Thank you guys for tuning in this time. Share this with your three best friends. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you, Steve, for being on the podcast. With that, that's Sage Mentality, guys. I'll catch you in the next upcoming episode. And guys, stay blessed, stay safe. And at this time frame right now, we got to be all standing up for each other, supporting each other, and try to push for justice.
Indeed.
All right, that's a wrap. Steve, thank you for your time, man.
Oh, thank you. Should we hang up now?
Do you edit this out? So I'll make my edits.
Okay, cool. I felt the need, just because it's a podcast, to try to be eloquent and make it flow, but now I feel like it doesn't have to be as sort of,
I think it's,
I guess, structured, a little more loose.
Honest, I was usually, and when I come up with a topic, I usually tend to come up with a framework of questions, prompts, statements, and that's only to have a framework to kind of, you know, those things to be able to really build off of and get into really deep, longing conversations. But I don't really keep it. That's really the only structure to it. I keep whatever I say and that person I have guests on open to whatever opinion, perspective they have. You know, however they may talk, however, you know, they may, you know, just being themselves. Originality is what my podcast is about, and really expressing, you know, just having a conversation between you and me. It's originality. It's my main thing, but it's insight and perspective is those two kind of come hand to hand.
No, that's what's up. Yeah, the way I was thinking about it is because I like to be more natural when I talk, and I did write down some things on a piece of paper just for some ideas or questions just to refer to, so that way I feel like the conversation has some sort of structure or purpose that I'm getting at. But again,
and that works.
I don't want it
to, because you kind of have to have that framework just to kind of keep it structured, where it's, you know, when we're talking, you know, it is about the subject and topic mainly, rather than it drifting off into us talking about that to talking about, you know, how it's cooking, you know, whatever, you know. I completely get where you're coming from. I think starting off having that structure and then kind of talking loosely and staying in that realm of what the conversation and topic is really about is, you know, it's all, you know, a combination of those things, you know, creates that level of, you know, that right sense of professionalism for some people, but also creating that, you know, atmosphere for people who, you know, from a, you know, like, you know, a common and an average person is kind of trying to, you know, want to actually be able to understand what's being said and just be able to actually enjoy what's being, you know, being said.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that just like helps us be ourselves when we have enough of that sort of loose structure, but within a framework, so you can kind of share freely and have it more, I think, conversational. Because like, I'm not a big fan of like having a super set script where every line is rehearsed.
It was very robotic,
unnatural. Fun. That just seems like more. Sure. Yeah. robotic.
Yeah, but that was exciting. Now, I think that was what's cool about it. I didn't have the time to get all that framework because I've been busy with work and a couple other errands and things. Yesterday actually protested here in Richmond. So it's just been a lot of things that's been catching my mind, and just the businesses I'm working with and social media, trying to in my content. So it's just been a lot. Yeah. So I think what's really cool about it is that it was really refreshing that you actually were able to lead with the questions and statements and prompts. And I think that was super awesome because that's, again, I'm usually one that's leading. And, for that turnaround, I think it was refreshing and gives a different perspective and change to, how I, have my podcast conducted.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to bring things to the table, and I felt like it was very important for me to share everything I could, just to try to make a difference, or talk about adding value to other people's lives, which I think is pretty cool. And I think too, even thinking about my purpose, which I don't think I went full into detail, just trying to be mindful of time, but I did want to use my voice in hopes of, relating to other people who, have ignorance or are privileged, just to kind of see, oh, there's someone else like me. I can learn from them or see things from this perspective. I think it's just important that all kinds of voices are heard. And even going back to leading, like you said, I think it's important for everyone to just try to do what they can to help, rather than just wait for someone else to do something first and sort of, it's kind of like that bystander effect where
no one ends up doing anything.
And yeah, so I don't think that's the way society should be. So even starting with me, I feel like I need to at least do something to be an example. And try to inspire others. But then, I was trying to be mindful of, contributing, but also, I know it's your podcast. So
no,
I
think
that was
super refreshing for me. Maybe the next time whenever you have the time, get you to be my guest and have another podcast discussion. We could probably double dip a little bit as far as, you give your set statements or set questions, prompts, and I give my same exact number of vice versa, to, both be able to add and contribute in that sense. Because that was actually pretty refreshing. I like that.
I think what I was trying to do was, not only share my own experiences. I think that's important, but then ask those either specific or open-ended questions where you can kind of learn and open up more information to be shared. And I've been taught by different people, in my church, just the people around me, that how important it is to just listen and try. It's kind of like ping pong, share, ask questions, and just try to make it balance. And I felt like that one helped.
Yeah, definitely.
Well.
I agree, man. I agree.
So I think in the past I've been one to be eager to just talk about myself, or what I feel, but I do think it goes a long way to just have that balance. And so I'm glad it was refreshing and appreciated. I wasn't knowing
I'd
give it a shot.
It's a little bit more busy a week. I will get back to you, okay? I will give you a call sometime soon. All right, brother. All right, stay safe, man. Stay blessed.
Cool, man.
All right, peace.